This podcast examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and just generally the wisdom of others. I believe in the importance of showing gratitude, and the greatest way for me to do that is to share the tools, tips, and teachings of others that I've found immensely beneficial, which is why I started this podcast. My intention is to provide tools, ideas, and contemplations to benefit anyone who wants to listen, because life is workable and totally awesome. I got some great feedback from a listener slash friend about Everything is Workable. He said he found the podcast awesome and incredibly insightful, and that he was impressed with the content because he generally approaches any self-help topics with a large dose of cynicism. I've been considering this ever since, and I'm taking it as inspiration for this episode, which is all about discernment and how essential it is for us to cultivate discernment. Thing is, I know exactly where he's coming from. I totally balk when I see self-help tagged onto anything. For me, it generates an image of some guy who's enthusiastically striding across the stage, delivering some invigorating, buzzword-laden speech about how he turned his life round, and all it took was this incredible technique, and you too can learn this, and that kind of thing. When it comes to Everything is Workable, I'm merely taking the approach of sharing things that I study and apply anyway, to a wider audience, with the aim of benefiting as many people as possible, if at all possible. Basically, I'm just sharing the studies that I do in a really open way. This is just kind of like my hobby. I don't feel particularly insightful or wise or anything like that. I'm not presenting anything new, and people do say this to me regularly. This is all really good stuff and stuff they've thought about and they know. So I'm not trying to say this is something new. And I'm not trying to market anything old as my own personal amazing idea that I've come up with. In fact, pretty much everything I talk about on here can be traced back through hundreds, if not thousands, of years and a multitude of different sources, both philosophical and psychological. And I also have a really strong bullshit meter. Apologies for the language. In fact, I'll just call it woo. My woo meter is tweaked pretty high by virtue of my upbringing. I was raised to value curiosity, to figure things out on my own, to do research, and to draw my own conclusions. I was also raised to understand that opinions are personal. So when I encounter someone who does buy into something that I consider to be woo, I don't necessarily argue with them or put them down. But what is woo? I've mentioned it a few times, actually, in past episodes. It's used often, in fact, in scientific communities, and that's pretty much where it's got an agreed-upon definition that I'm going to use, which is that woo is pseudoscientific explanations or reasoning for stuff, for things. Woo can also be called, like, hippy-dippy kind of stuff, or, as I said earlier, bullshit. Woo is, as far as terminology goes, not such a harsh way to describe fluffy, unsubstantiated stuff, so I'm going to stick with calling it woo for this episode. There's some woo that is totally harmless, and it can even be fun. Like, it's fun to believe in fairies. That's fun. A lot of religion, both theistic and non-theistic, is full of woo, but woo that supports people in their lives, gives them a strong sense of belonging, and maybe even helps them cultivate compassion and love. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's brilliant. But then there's the dangerous sort of woo. Woo that falls into conspiracy theories and leads people to make a choice to, like, say, not get proper medical treatment for a very treatable disease, or to spout logical fallacies and justify their ignorance. And the thing with woo is that in any form, it isn't always obvious. As a Buddhist, I've had to learn how to navigate through a lot of woo. The Buddhism that we get exposed to in the West can be totally full of woo. Misunderstandings, misinterpretations, misrepresentations, These things lead to the development of woo pockets, which can pop up anywhere and everywhere. So what do we do? How do we navigate the fluff? How do we determine if something is of benefit and actually sound? This is where discernment is a wonderful, crucial, amazing tool for us to have. Discernment is our ability to make wise or informed judgments. Of course, in using the word judgment, I'm going to put some backs up, so let me be clear. Judgment is not a bad thing in and of itself. When we look outside and see that it's raining, we use our judgment to determine that we should probably bring an umbrella and wear waterproof. And when we're driving and navigating, we use our judgment to determine safe stopping distances or when to signal and turn. When we choose to buy fresh vegetables and cook a meal at home instead of eating out at a fast food restaurant, that's using our judgment. The sort of judgment that people generally get hung up on, and why judgment has become a bad word, is the kind where we pile a load of expectations and criticism on with it. Harsh criticism, not constructive criticism. So, like, for example, I could say, oh, those curtains aren't really practical for this room because they don't block out the light enough, and that makes it difficult for me to sleep at night. Versus saying, what sort of an idiot will buy such useless curtains, and oh my god, the color is revolting, what a moron. That's quite harsh and not really necessary. Learning to discern is about learning how to see the fullness of a situation and make a wise judgment, right? Based on all of this information that we might have from before. And we make that wise judgment accordingly. Developing discernment is fun and easy, and there are three key questions that I've come up with that we can ask when testing for woo with our discerning mind. Question number one, does it stand up to examination? Be a scientist. Test things out. One of my absolutely favorite Buddhist teachings, and one of the key things that appealed to me about Buddhism when I first started practicing, is a teaching from Buddha that says, and I'm paraphrasing here, don't trust anything anyone has said unless it agrees with your own sense of reason, even if I have said it. We get to be our own greatest teacher. I approach anything that I'm studying with a great deal of curiosity, a healthy dose of skepticism, and an openness to discovery. I try not to have fixed ideas about what I will or won't learn, and instead just see what will come up. And then I like to test things. Whatever comes up, I test it again and again and again. So for example, I listen to teaching that says everyone is basically good. I don't buy it right off the bat, but I also don't dismiss it. Or if I do feel that I have this need to dismiss it, I'm going to investigate that. Why is it that I want to reject that statement? When we don't want to look at something, it generally deserves our attention all the more because it's communicating something that we're shut down to. It shows us where we think we know something or we think we already have an answer. So then we can test it out repeatedly. When something stands up to our examination of it, it's probably safe to say that it isn't woo. Question number two, does it absolve you of responsibility? One thing that I've discovered about woo is that it generally absolves us of individual responsibility. It allows us to defer to something external, some force or conspiracy or something which means that we are powerless. For example, personally, I see fate as woo. Believing in fate implies that there is some determination in our lives, something beyond our control that is pre-written. I see this as a belief to be wary of because it means we either feel trapped in our circumstances, so fated to be where we are, or we feel like we're not responsible for changing things, so fated to be as we are. The way that I see it, and here's something that I've tested many times, the future is unwritten. I have tested this because there are many habitual patterns that I used to have where I felt like I was really fated to something. Like, I had repeated bouts of depression, and they were really predictable, actually, around seasons and certain events and anniversaries of certain events and things. And I felt like it didn't matter what I did, I was always going to be depressed at those times in those ways. But I'm no longer beholden to those because I've made a choice to work with my mind, because I meditate, I've cultivated all this curiosity and awareness and discipline. And actually, I haven't had a bout of depression in probably 7 years. So anything that disempowers us should definitely be questioned, examined, and held up to the light and really opened up to see its workings. If it's woo, it won't take very much to open it up and you won't be able to get very deep because woo just generally doesn't run deep. It kind of falls apart under this kind of examination. And then the result is liberation. We don't have to buy into something that says that our lives are out of our hands. We actually get to live our lives instead of being victims of our lives. So, quite exciting. Number three, for checking that it's woo. Brilliant question, and I have to thank my lovely fiancé for this one. Does it claim to be a silver bullet? A lot of woo is very singular in its approach. Like, there is one single magical answer that's just gonna solve everything. For anything. In fact, for very complex situations. And that's just not really realistic. Teachings that have value to me are ones that consistently fit with the way that things are. Teachings that take into account the complexity of being human, the interconnectedness of all things, and how consistent change is in our lives. Anything purporting to be a singular answer to all of life's problems and struggles sounds really dodgy to me. And it's probably this sort of stuff that my friend was reflecting on when he made that comment about being skeptical of self-help stuff. Even meditation, right? I go on and on about it being amazing and fantastic and totally brilliant as a tool. I don't see it as a solution to everything. It's a tool. Just like discernment is a great tool, or having a regular practice is a tool. But we still need to eat well, and we need to exercise, and we need to get enough sleep too. That's a sort of woo aspect of Buddhism that I've encountered. The idea that someone can do nothing but meditate for 100 years and not die. Well, that's just silly. And metaphorical, and totally not supposed to be taken literally. But, you know, some people do. Personally, I think that self-help gets a bad rap because so much of it is mixed up with this kind of woo. But writing off the entire thing can really close us off to some really incredible stuff. For example, I read The Creative Habit by Twyla Tharp. This is an incredibly practical, strong, intelligent guide to cultivating, developing, and encouraging creativity on both a personal and professional level. I recommend this book so highly. It's absolutely genius. Honestly, if you follow the things that are in this book, you will not help but become really productive with your creativity. This book has self-help written on the cover. If I had simply gone based on that being written on the cover, I might not have chosen to read it. So I suppose there is actually a fourth question that you can ask. And this is a really good, very big question that will discern whether or not something that you're reading or seeing or listening to that is kind of going out there as self-help, or that you're like perceiving as self-help, is of value, or if it's simply woo. Ask yourself, does it require work? Because self-help takes work. It's not easy to help ourselves. It's not easy for us to examine our minds and to pay attention to our habitual patterns that get us into really crappy situations and stuff. It's hard. It's hard to take responsibility for our lives. I totally am speaking from experience here. Working with our mind is a challenge. Learning to undo habitual patterns, patterns of blaming our parents or our upbringing or society generally for why we struggle, that's really difficult to let go of. So if someone says, do this, it's easy and your whole life will be amazing, then question that. Test it. See if it holds up. But don't write it off entirely. You might find some nuggets in there. You might find something that's of value. Too much skepticism just leads to cynicism and rigidity. And who knows what valuable thing that you might miss out on. Learn to discern so that you can determine what is of benefit and what is possibly not. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. My content will always be free, but if you'd like to help make it even better, you can become a patron by clicking the green button at the top of the page. I'm always looking for content suggestions and people to interview. If you've got any ideas or would like to contribute, you can get in touch through my website, www.faunawolfcreations.com. That's faunawolfcreations.com. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.